Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. We're on Shoddy Watch. Is he going to get the gig interviewing with the Cowboys for the second day in a row? I just can't imagine anything realistic that they would offer that he would say no to. You've never been a head coach. You know, the payday at age 51 would maybe be life-changing money. You probably become fairly accustomed to your low seven-figure salary, maybe high six figures. I don't know what Shoddy's making, but as head coach of the Cowboys, you're probably going to get 3.5 or 4 as the floor with incentives. So I'm expecting Schottenheimer will be head coach here at some point in the next 24 to 48 hours, the latest, maybe in the next 4 hours. We might have something by the end of the show. Here's Woolchuck with your NFL news of the day.
All right, let's stick with Shoddy. And we had the pleasure of getting to interview him out in Oxnard here on the G-Bag Nation. And it was an awesome interview. I mean, I love talking ball with Brian Schottenheimer. Am I happy at all with this hire? I was very outspoken about that yesterday. No, I'm not. It's just not the most inspiring coaching hire. But look, there's plenty of hires that have happened, and it's not official yet, if indeed that isn't what the Cowboys do, that others have pooed on and they end up being exceptional coaches. We've got to hope and pray that is the case here. So one of the things we're trying to be optimistic about, while also being absolutely terrified, frustrated, depressed, and appalled by what this organization's doing, is, okay, is there any reinventing here from Brian Schottenheimer? I mean, track record's been a little up and down. Overall, probably not as great as you'd want it to be as an offensive coordinator, but there has been some years of success. Borrowing plays has been something that we've talked about a lot. Can you try and see what another offense is doing? Can I borrow that? Maybe implement a little bit. Here's Shoddy on borrowing plays.
You do steal the idea, and then you make it your own. Matter of fact, my first year in the league, 1997, Dick Vermeil's staff in St. Louis. That was kind of my job, was just kind of keep tabs on what was the new wrinkles and what people were doing, college and pro, and just I'd jot them down, show them to Dick or Jerry Rome, and sometimes they'd be like, get that stuff out of here. Yeah. And other times they'd be like, oh, that's really cool. So as you know, it's been going on a long time.
Right.
But we really do believe that, you know, our system is special. It's got the flexibility, the versatility, but we're always trying to stay on top of trends.
Okay, so does that make you any more optimistic, less optimistic in the idea that maybe you are reevaluating, staying on top of trends, as he says, and possibly changing things up? Or is it just all about you already trust your system, as he said there?
My hope is if he gets this job, that every time that he went to Mike McCarthy and suggested a play, that McCarthy said, get out of here, like Jerry Rome and Dick Vermeil did. And he's like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep looking at plays. I'm going to keep taking ideas. You know, he got his start here doing the Ben McAdoo program, working with the defensive coaches and the players and all that. So he saw a lot of offense. I'm just hoping the last couple of years that, you know, he's seen things watching Dak practice and watching Dak play games that, you know, that maybe Mike was like, no, I'm not interested in doing this. And Schottenheimer's thinking, you know what, if we try this, this might be something that could help us. And that's my hope. That's my hope that there was a lot of things that he suggested that Mike McCarthy, stubborn as he could be, just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to learn new terminology. I don't want to implement new plays. I don't want to, you know, no, I don't want to do this. I hope that if that's what Schottenheimer has been doing, is collecting plays and looking at ideas, that he saved all those teaching reels, all those plays that he drew up, you know, and I hope that he gets to do what he wants to do with them. But, yeah, that's my hope.
Yeah. No, that's, you know, all we have. That's all we have is hope.
I want a guy that's super proud of stealing plays. Like, oh, yeah, we're looking at high school. We're looking at college. We're always looking for anything, anywhere, because it's better to crowdsource this kind of thing when you're trying to solve modern defense. Is that what you want? You know, I feel like I heard, a guy who was proud of a special system that they have in place there. Is that just coach speak? I hope, you know, that that's what that was there. He sounded a little bit defensive. like steal plays? We don't need to steal plays. You kidding me? This guy, Mike McCarthy and Dak, you know, we got everything we'd ever want. I don't know how you could, you know, think that. But you're coming off Dak runner-up to MVP. Statistically, it's there. It's his, you know, first public interview on the job. There could have been a lot of things that would explain why you would paint things so positively. And hopefully in private, you're like, wow, you know, we got a lot of work to do if we're going to.
Yeah. That, you know, it's like, you know, my hope is, I'm sure McCarthy killed his spirit. I'm sure McCarthy didn't want to, you know, McCarthy probably didn't want to advance things. McCarthy, you know, he stretched the truth about looking at the, you know, looking at the Cowboys before he took the job.
Right about that.
He talked about, you know, every big things about analytics. He talked to people in the organization about had all those analytics people. Mm-hmm. What they do? They turned over all those analytics guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, did he turn them over? Or did he? They just not use them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm hopeful that this, if Brian Schottenheimer gets this job, that he realizes that being modern football coach helps you win games, not living back in the
Marty ball
in the, yeah. You know, and his dad was one of the best. You talk about run the football now.
Yep.
His dad, wherever his dad went, they ran the football.
Heavy run game, yeah. Man.
So
heavy run
game. That's in his DNA, but I'm hopeful that those ideas that he saw from other teams that McCarthy probably told him to go, you know, kick rocks. I hope he coaches that way.
Only hope you can have. I do think the 5-6-1, this is very, it, you have a quarterback. I don't know how good the quarterback's going to be moving forward. We'll see. I hope he's healthy and he's a rock star. But it does feel like you've got a Dave Campo 2.0 incoming here on your hands.
They got better personnel than we had. We did a horse-ass job of retooling that team or making that team.
Yeah, they did.
We got old fast. We didn't draft. And we busted in free agency.
The draft can certainly save some of that. But with what they're going to lose, this is a roster that's not looking very good right now either. And it's going to take a big-time draft to retool this.
I hope he doesn't. The mistakes that we made, too, in the Campo administration was former players as coaches.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big mistake. You know, Mike Zimmer was damn good. I loved Mike. I learned so much from Mike Zimmer when he was there, you know, in that first time around. When I got to work with him. But other than that, we really struggled. We struggled with bad coordinators. We struggled with bad offensive line coach. We struggled with a lot of things. And we were bad in the personnel department. This team is better equipped to handle that than what we handled, how we handled it in the early 2000s.
Will McClay's got his work cut out for him in that scouting department. It's going to be a tough task this offseason.
A lot of pressure on him.
A lot of pressure. And there was last year. And we'll see how this one goes. Okay, the stuff in Jacksonville is just, it's incredible. They have fired Trent Baalke. This is 2 weeks after Shad Khan, their owner, was asked about why he didn't do a complete overhaul of the coaching staff and front office. And he said, well, that would be suicidal. And 2 weeks later, he's deciding, you know what? It's time. Let's go ahead and get rid of Baalke. The statement from Shad Khan following several discussions with Trent Baalke this week, we both arrived at the conclusion that it is in our mutual best interest to respectively separate effective immediately. So he's going to leave. He's going to probably not get another GM job because it doesn't sound like the rest of the league is big fans of Trent Baalke.
He's burned a lot of bridges along the way.
Yeah, he's kind of snake guy.
Very, very snaky.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing about it, though. Khan came out and said when Baalke was sitting there with him,
yeah,
that if somebody were to give him a reason to remove Trent from his job, that he would consider it. Liam Cohen not taking that job when it's the first opportunity for him to be a head coach and saying, no, I'm not going to go to Jacksonville. That was Khan's reason right there. He's like, listen, if we've got guys turning us down because potentially you being the general manager, that's my reason right there to get rid of you.
All-time dysfunction.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It really is.
If I was Jacksonville, I would have fired him immediately after the season, and then you go after. Now, we'll see what happens with the Bears, you know, with that coaching situation.
But you would have had a better chance at Ben Johnson.
I would have totally gone after Ben Johnson, said, listen, whatever general manager dude you want to bring from Detroit or whoever you feel comfortable with, we'll make it work.
So the Bucs were preparing for Liam Cohen to be offered the job. So what did they do? they went ahead and said, hey, we're going to give you a fat raise. All right, we're going to make you the highest paid coordinator in the NFL. Stay here. So then he takes himself out of the running today. Then you have the domino of Trent Baalke getting fired. Well, now you've got Robert Saleh and defensive coordinator Patrick Graham, who have second interviews scheduled. Saleh's flying tomorrow to Jacksonville to meet with them. I think this is going to end up being his job, and then we'll see what the staff looks like. So Robert Saleh, who the Cowboys did interview, is going back to Jacksonville. He's going to have a chance to get that gig. We were all hoping maybe Aaron Glenn would be in play with the Cowboys. They didn't even seek to interview him. Surprise, surprise.
Well, I was talking to people. That was too far along the down the road.
Well,
I
hear you out.
Yeah, that the deal with the Jets and the Saints and all that, when they didn't interview him on the first week that you can interview, they were dead.
Yeah.
They were dead. When everybody else jumped in on that one, they had not fired McCarthy. They had not made their decision. So that cost them an opportunity to talk to Aaron Glenn.
So, like, in hindsight, it looks bad because you should have made your decision on Mike McCarthy, but maybe they also wanted to keep Mike and they didn't anticipate Mike saying, I'm good here.
Yeah.
Thank you, but no thank you.
I agree. Yeah.
So now you've got the Jets hiring former Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. Former Jets first round pick in 1994, was a personnel scout there, and now he's going to become the head coach. So congratulations to Aaron Glenn. What's his staff going to look like? Well, some names from Albert Breer. You've got passing game coordinator Nick Haley, of the Rams, Texans quarterbacks coach Jerod Johnson, and then Vikings quarterbacks coach Josh McCown, all names to look at. Bill Parcells, former Cowboys and Jets head coach, he's pumped about this Aaron Glenn move, said he's not afraid to be contentious. He's just feisty, not rude or impolite. He's just willing to get his point across, thinks he's going to have a lot of success with his style.
Well, it sounds like that if, you know, Hank Fraley, or I mentioned Mark Burnell, remember, he was a guy that maybe might come along here too.
Absolutely. Lions quarterback coach.
Yeah, and so if he doesn't get the OC job, then there was a possibility that he would go. That's what I was trying to do here for Dallas, is get Glenn and then get Mark Burnell to come along.
I would have made a ton of sense. It really would have. So congratulations to Liam Cohen. He gets himself a nice payday. He's going to stay in Tampa. Aaron Glenn's head coach. Now maybe Robert Saleh in line to get the gig with the Jags. We'll see after they fire Trent Baalke. Now we know Ben Johnson. We'll get to more Ben Johnson audio later in the finest with Eric, but Amon-Ra St. Brown does his weekly podcast with his brother Equinemius, and he had some fun back and forth with his former OC, who's now a division rival head coach in Chicago.
You know, we had some banter back and forth, messing around, but he's, I think he's obviously excited for the opportunity. We got our boy Caleb over there, who's talented. They got some good players over there. So Swift is over there. So they got a pretty good team. I told him, I said, for two times a year, Ben, we're going to f*** you up. He goes, I'm going to f*** you up. I said, okay, we'll see. I told him I know all the plays he likes to run. I know all his tendencies. But we were just going back and forth, messing around. But it's funny. He's like, if I want to be the best, I got to beat the best, right? I said,
damn. But you guys aren't the best, so.
I mean, division-wise, he's talking, you know?
Oh, okay.
Division-wise. I got to clarify, like, we did just lose to the Commanders, but in the division, we are the best. So if you want to come for the North here, you better knock down the King, and that is the Lions as of right now. But this is going to be a fun division with Ben Johnson, Matt LaFleur. Obviously, we know the success that Dan Campbell's had there. And then Kevin O'Connell, all offensive-minded coaches. Campbell, the only one who hasn't really called plays substantially, but what does he do now? Maybe he does just elevate Mark Brunell. Says, sorry, Aaron. Sorry, Ben. My guy's staying with me over here. That's going to be fascinating how he builds that staff. But this division's looking fun.
Oh, yeah, that's a great division. You know, and if Chicago can get it figured out, I mean, there's really not a weak team there. That would be, I think, in the conversation for we're all going to make the playoff division.
Yeah, everybody, all four teams. That'd be a first. I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't know that.
Now with the seventh seed, maybe you get a shot. By the way, it's a 5-year deal, according to Adam Schefter, for Aaron Glenn. Contractually, he's tied to the organization until 2029. So don't have any numbers on that yet. I think it was $13 million I saw for Ben Johnson.
Yeah, Ben Johnson, he got bagged up.
Good for him, man. Khalil Mack is playing in 2025 after their loss for the Chargers against the Texans. He was unsure, should I retire? He's going to come back. He's told the organization.
He's a free agent, though.
Maybe that ends up being, I doubt that he's going to be affordable for the Cowboys, but maybe he ends up going to Buffalo.
The Commanders.
The Commanders have a lot of money. I mean, New England's probably not a team. Arizona's got a lot of money to offer, but a contending team, I'm sure, is what he's going to want to jump on.
A lot of people are going to want to go play with that quarterback and with the Commanders and that head coach.
I bet.
Seems like a coach's, you've got players' coach.
Really good vibe. What's going on there? No question. And Bills Mafia, shout out to them. They're supporting tight end Mark Andrews after he had the drop. Now, of course, they're going to support him. Like, he helped send them to an AFC championship game. I think they're winning the game anyway. I think Josh Allen's going out there, putting him in field goal range. Now, maybe Tyler Bass misses it, which is very par for the course for him. He's not reliable in playoff games. But Bills fans are donating to type 1 diabetes research. They've started a GoFundMe, and they've already been able to organize over $50,000 as of this morning for Mark Andrews here. So.
Right. And his mom has the diabetes. So that's from the foundation.
Yes,
stuff like
yes.
That. Yeah.
He does as well. So Mark Andrews was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes as a child, which is an autoimmune disease. So Bill's Mafia circling the wagons and trying to
classy
do a good cause.
You got to like that bit. That might be the best bit in football right now.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you, Woolchuck. When we come back, it's time for a C note. How likely are the Cowboys compared to the other non-playoff teams to make a return to the playoffs in 2025? That's coming up next, along with the other significant Cowboy headlines of the day, and we're back here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In the nation. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Okay, it's time for the C-Note. We'll look at top headlines that are trending on Google around America's team and Twitter, of course. What you're looking at right now is Brian Schottenheimer in his second interview this, you know, last night when it ended after 4 hours of discussions without a deal. We thought, okay, maybe there's a pivot. Maybe things didn't go well. But about an hour and a half before today's show, we got the report from the NFL Network guys and gals that you know, they were going back in to talk. So I think we could have something tonight for sure, maybe by the end of the show. Stay tuned. I know, Brian, you've been on the phone at every break.
I've been trying. This thing might be talking about how they're going to put the staff together.
All right.
It's kind of what I'm getting a little
just
bit.
Just hashing things out.
Yeah, like, you know, who we can consider, who, you know, maybe who on the current staff.
And you're saying the Jason Witten thing, not the slam dunk that maybe we've been talking about the last couple of weeks.
You know, Witten's always going to be in consideration for things, but I was told we're all in the media, not just at 105.3, The Fan. We're probably making a little bit of a too big of a deal of that.
All right.
So that's that. I'm just, like I said, I just, you know, things I get told every once in a while. So we'll see how it plays out.
Appreciate the insights and perspectives. We're going to get, a look back on Brian Schottenheimer's track record. I'm going to try my best to harvest some optimism and positivity out of there. You guys tell me if I'm hitting on it or, you know, if I just need to give it a rest. But, you know, you could look at this thing glass half full. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, Michael Irvin says this is not the right hire. He was on TV once again this morning. Says he can see why they did it. Guy was in the building, give him a shot and all that. But they need the guy to elevate the mood around the team and help people believe in the locker room and the fan base. And, you know, I think that's a lot of what Dan Campbell did. You know, I think a lot of coaches can be cerebral and, you know, inspire confidence. But if you want more of a rah-rah guy, you know, I wouldn't argue with that. And I don't think you need one of those guys. But, you know, I feel like, guys, we are going into a 3 to 5 year period now that could see the Cowboys fail to hold on to relevance. Because I don't think that Jerry views it like Michael does now, that we need to get somebody excited. I think Jerry is just going to who's the guy that we can pay the least and control who he's hiring with the coaching staff and isn't going to pitch a fit when I meddle in his affairs, you know, and undermine him in front of the team. I think that's really the criteria. You know, you had the 2000 to 2005 run, but that was just 5 years removed from a Super Bowl. You know, now you're 25 years removed from dominance. They survived a few seasons in the 80s. They made the big, bold move to bring in Jimmy, and you're right back at him again in the 90s. You know, they survived the Romo years, or the broadest years by getting Romo.
Yeah.
You know, and they got Parcells, and they had momentum again. But now all of these years later, they survived 2010 to 2013 because they were playing for the division every year in week 17, right? And they never won that pivotal game, whether it was against the Eagles or the Giants or Washington, but they had a chance, you know, back then. I feel like now after the end of the Packers playoff game and then this season and going into this with a hire that inspires no confidence, we might actually see their ability to drive TV ratings drying up here. If they don't make the playoffs again, can you guys see that happening? Or do the Cowboys have such a vice grip on it and the way that the national media talks about the soap opera, they will remain the number one talking point team in all of the U.S., even if they miss the playoffs, let's say the next 3 years?
If they miss the playoffs for the next 3 years, that might do it. As of immediately, no. I think we saw it when you've got a game against Cincinnati on Monday Night Football, where they're like a 5-7 football team, pretty much out of it. They're not good. They've got Cooper Rush starting at quarterback. And it was the highest rated ESPN Monday night game of that week, week 13 or whenever it was, they've ever had. So to me, it doesn't really matter. Like, if they're in the hunt or not, people want to probably hate watch the Cowboys. They enjoy watching them fail. They enjoy watching the misery of myself and other Cowboy fans in what we're going through, because that's how you become the most popular Oregon franchise in all sports. You're loved by a lot of people, but you're hated by maybe more people. So I don't know. I really don't think the ratings are going to be affected. And honestly, Jerry probably feels like the ratings aren't going to be affected. And that's why he doesn't care. Because really, why should he? And until he sees something or I see something to prove otherwise, I don't think that they're going to have any issues in that area. And that's a massive problem if that's really what he's caring about.
It is a problem. You know, I think the hope would be that they would lose relevance and force the Jones family to change their approach, you know.
Right.
But maybe actual football fundamentals, like great coaching, you know, doesn't matter nearly as much as the ability to stir that pot and keep the soap opera moving. But I will hope that the national TV stops talking about them at some point in the next 36 months. And Jerry is faced with the same dilemma as when he wanted that stadium built. I have to do something to get the fans reinterested. You go get Parcells and suddenly your organization, you know, has a significant 180.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take. That's what it is going to take when he cares about that stuff more than anything else. That's the shoe that's going to have to drop. It's not the Commanders now unseating you and you having the longest drought to the NFC Championship. That doesn't bother him.
Nope.
If we got the news today that the Commanders were more valuable with their franchise, then that would be the thing that would be like, okay, now we got to switch something up.
I'm sure you guys have seen the text and the Twitter activity. Like, there's a lot of fans saying, I'm done. You know, yes. I'm protesting now. No more of this, no more of that. But I do think just paying attention to the Cowboys and watching the Cowboys games and talking about the Cowboys with your friends on the job or at the youth sports game as you're killing time at practice, as long as it continues to, you know, be a talking point like that, it's so ingrained into the into the fabric of our culture that that's just what we pay attention to and talk about in our sports community. I don't know. Maybe I'm overestimating how bad this next half decade could suck. But looking at the roster and looking at Dak's contract and the way they manage the cap, I don't know how they get out of it. Blogging the Boys did a nice piece on the details of Schottenheimer's resume and his track record. With the Jets, sixth season. Guys, made the playoffs three times, smack dab in the middle of the Patriots dynasty. Isn't that something? Never had a good passing game, even in the Favre year. Why? I mean, their receivers were Jericho Cotchery and Lavernius Coles. Probably little Wayne Corbett in there as well. You know, maybe the tail end of his deal. After that, 3 years, Shoddy got out, went to the Rams. No talent. Their QB was Sam Bradford, Austin Davis, and Sean Hill. The rushing attack, an older Steven Jackson, then Zach Stacy and Trey Mason. I mean, those Cowboys teams around that time, that was one of the few teams that they could actually beat. I remember, you know, thinking of just how horrible that coaching staff was with I mean, but their best receivers were Amendola, Chris Givens, Kenny Britt, and Tavon Austin. So I don't know how you could expect Shoddy to do much at all with that offense. It was one of the worst run organizations, but it might have been his offensive ineptitude that forced them to think outside the box and go get Sean McVay.
Yeah, I mean, sure, the personnel stuff wasn't great or whatever, but you had Jared Goff looking like he was a certified bust, awful, disgusting, number one overall pick quarterback. And then McVay comes in there, and it's not long before they're playing in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So you can see the difference there. And I understand the personnel factor for sure. But
got Todd Gurley.
Like, come on, yes. Like, you were clearly not doing, like, Jared Goff, it looked like it was already damaged goods after 1 year. That's what you did to him.
Man. So then he's with the Seahawks from 18 to 20. And working under Pete Carroll, Seahawks offense moved inside the top 10 in points scored. They won 10-plus games in each of his three seasons with the team, made the postseason each time. Chris Carson, your featured back, ran over 1,100 yards in back-to-back seasons. Did have the good wide receiver trio there with Baldwin Lockett and the beginning of DK Metcalf's career. And just like his two previous stops, the Seahawks were better at running the ball than passing. They finished top 10 in rushing. So I think if you're the front office and maybe the smart coaches around there and you're endorsing Schottenheimer or you're deciding on Schottenheimer, it's with the understanding that we're not going to pass our way to success here. As much as we've tried, as much as we believe in Dak Prescott, the best running teams are making the playoffs this year. Dak has played by far his best football, his most efficient football. Still, you got to go back to 2016 when we could, you know, dominate a team with our running game alone. And we need to sell out to get back to that. You know, we need to do whatever's possible. And if you're looking for a guy who's going to run the ball more than just about any offensive coordinator in the NFL, it might be Schottenheimer. Doesn't look like him inspiring any confidence.
No,
you
I mean,
guys,
like the volume of attempts will be there. He will want to run the football, but
how well can you do it?
How well can you do it? How nuanced is your attack? All that kind of stuff. I mean, anybody can just call run plays.
Yeah, I mean, the running game, that's something that I have always thought he's going to bring a good running game, which is why I really don't think he's had much say in what's going on here because the Cowboys' running game hasn't been great. It's been struggling the last few years. But the one thing that's funny is Dak's supposedly one of the biggest advocates, right? So does that mean Dak just wants to run the football then? If that's the sell, is it like Dak's, all right, let's do it. Let's line up. Let's play smash mouth and run the ball.
Well, I mean, what's the number? Dak can look it up. If I pass 35 times, we are going to lose the game.
Yeah.
You know, if Dak is endorsing that, like, guys, we need to get serious about this run game because I need better looks in the secondary, then I think that would be, an evolved and mature perspective for him to have. Quick inside the star.com mock draft. Guys, maybe you don't see this as a big need, but what if the Cowboys did what this author is suggesting in his mock round one, pick 12 out of Penn State, the tight end, Tyler Warren?
I do love Tyler Warren. I do.
6'6", 257, runs a 4'6", 40.
I'm a big Tyler Warren fan.
If you could tell me he can smack him up in the run game, oh, yeah. I could get sold.
Tyler Warren can block.
Do you think he can?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like Broadus has some doubt.
They played him at fullback, offensive tackle.
How much did he play in line?
This year, I don't have the percentage for you. Yeah. He played a lot in the slot this year.
Yeah,
they played him a lot in the slot.
He's an outstanding receiver when it comes to playing on the outside and catching the ball and doing those things. I don't know about, like I say, I kind of felt like that maybe the blocking wasn't one of his strengths.
No, Cody Warren's breakdown is he needs to improve blocking against edge defenders. And must improve his hand placement and his leverage at the point of attack.
Yeah, but I think
he's been a solid anchor at the point of attack.
Will mainly play as a flexed or slot receiver. We'll see him in line as a natural hands catcher. All the things you want to talk about him coming off the ball and stuff like that. He's a little clunky as a route runner.
But I think Jake Ferguson is a sufficient starter, but as a backup with a star. I mean, if you're just trying to make more first downs, you know, and you're considering wide receiver heavily, why not a star? You know, maybe the best guy you've had at the position since Jason Witten.
Gronk-like with the way he runs his routes. Sure. And then after the catch, you know, he's not going to just outrun people, but he's going to bulldoze over you. I mean, this is a guy that got snaps along the offensive line. To me, I think he'd instantly be your best blocking tight end, personally. I don't have that question about him when I watched him play.
Yeah, I did. I saw the Illinois and Ohio State games were the two that I watched.
USC was very impressive, too.
He did, against Illinois, he did knock down their linebacker on the second level. I kind of felt like, though, the leverage problems he had, he was like one shot and off.
Yeah.
When you watched him, I thought he'd be better with his hands. But, man, I mean, he's going to catch the football. He's going to make contested catches, but he's going to need some work, I think, as a run blocker on the next level. But I didn't see him as one of the as a top guy when you start to talk about the blocking ability. That gave me a little bit of that pause.
Brian, where are we going next?
I'll tell you what, I've got some interesting quotes about a coach that was hired, but I also want to talk to you guys a little bit, though, about these breakdowns of these teams in the playoffs again. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, and here's the king, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. You ever find yourself going back and looking at stories about when somebody was hired and what people said about the guy that was hired or the gal that was hired?
Yeah, my favorite one to do that with is Doug Peterson when he got hired by the Eagles.
Like it was
completely panned. Yeah. No, there wasn't a single person that gave it a passing grade for a hire.
Yeah. I was just curious because, and not that, you know, the whole thing was shoddy and all that. I just always wonder what that narrative's going to be. I went back and I just was looking through when the Lions hired Dan Campbell. You ever gone through that
one? Oh, dude, man, Campbell. Yeah. I mean, geez, well, we got receipts for this show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh, Beathead. There was a lot of people that just couldn't believe that he would get a head coaching job.
Headlines from the Detroit Free Press, Carlos Moraz. Detroit Lions hired Dan Campbell as head coach. Why didn't anybody else want him? Colin Cowherd said Dan Campbell hire was awful. Just kind of wonder about that. Analysts give Lions a hiring of Dan Campbell an average grade.
You know, it was a perennial failure organization that made a very risky outside-the-box move. I mean, you could easily see how, you know, most NFL teams going towards a CEO type, very stoic, and this guy was the opposite, you know. So it was an easy one to pick on.
But it's such an inexact science. It's like trying to draft the quarterback. Being able to identify which coach is going to be awesome is a very, very difficult thing to predict.
I'll tell you the one that we've been the most wrong on, I think, as North Texas sports fans, is the Jason Kidd one. Because of how rough it ended with the Bucks, it appeared that he kind of found his lane as an assistant coach with the Lakers.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
But, man, he's had so many right answers for these Mavs.
Yeah, I just find it funny. Is it one of those things where when a guy gets hired or a gal gets hired, should the number one thing that we think about is patience? Or is that no longer in sports? Do we no longer have patience for a hire.
Well, in this business, it's so much about opinion, you know, and do you like it or do you not? So right. I don't think we should wait. You know, I think it is an updatable situation, you know, and as long as you're humble and honest about it and fair to the guy, don't make it personal. You know, I don't think anything's out of bounds.
I made it personal with Garrett. To get Garrett fired, I made it personal.
Well, you'd seen him work for 6 years by the time you did.
Yeah,
it was painfully obvious.
I don't think there is any patience in the NFL. We're seeing coaches get fired one and done.
No, I'm seeing as a fan base.
Yeah, but
or I think, as the media, should we be patient?
Yeah,
I mean, or at least come in a way of patience.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying, and I've even said it today, like because I mean you know I went on the rant, and it wasn't
wrong. There were a lot of
the shoddy news.
Yeah.
But you don't know. I mean, we really have no idea with these coaches who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. Maybe Brian Schottenheimer ends up being an excellent head coach.
Right.
But it is fair to wonder, why has nobody else in the National Football League requested an interview with him this year?
Yeah.
I believe the last time he had a head coaching interview was back in 2013. Like, people were trying to tag me and stuff that was like, yeah, he turned down an interview in 2010. We're talking about 15 years ago.
Sure.
So the NFL knows Brian Schottenheimer. He's been a lifer in the business. People know whether or not he would probably be a good coaching candidate. The fact that nobody else has wanted to interview him makes me think, I don't know about this. And it's also more of the process. Right. If they had
you're mad at the process. You're not mad at the player or the coach. You're mad at the process.
Exactly. If they'd have done their due diligence, and hey, maybe they did get screwed because they waited on Mike. They expected Mike to be here.
Right.
They didn't think Mike would give him the Heisman and say thank you, but no thanks. So now they couldn't interview Ben. They couldn't interview Aaron Glenn. Maybe that stuff is all real excuses. I don't know what goes on behind
those doors. That's why you don't be patient with the Cowboys, because you know they weren't really interested in Ben.
They don't
deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I just wonder when the guy gets hired or the gal gets hired, then that's when you have to show patience. But
sure, if it's CY hiring a guy, you know, if it's Nico or Jim Nill hiring a guy, but and we don't know him, I'd be like, okay, they obviously are good at this.
Doubt.
Yes.
Yeah, you get the benefit of the doubt.
I can't give Jerry the benefit of the doubt. 30 years of trying to do things his way has gotten you absolutely nowhere. It's gotten you the biggest drought in the NFC when it comes to making a conference championship. You need to do better.
See, that's where I'm kind of at right now. I want to believe, okay, fine, if that's the guy you want to hire, I'm with you guys on the process part of it, you know, and I worked in the NFL for 13 years. I there's no way in hell that I would do it the way that they do it over there. There's just no way I would do that. I think you have to stay on top of things. You have to be ready to act, you know. Do you think McCarthy okey-doked them? Do you think they thought McCarthy was going to take a 2-year deal and just...
No, I think they if anybody was pulling an okie doke, it was the Cowboys acting like they were interested, and they hit him with a contract that would basically have plunged him right back into the situation that he started 2024 in.
Sure.
You know, after what he'd given, what he'd put up with and delivered, you know, a locker room that loves him in 3 straight 12-win seasons, if you can't commit to me for any amount of time, you know, it's the Cowboys being faulty.
Kind of feel that way too. I think you're right about that. All right. Man, let me talk about this real quick, then this other thing I want to talk about. I did this thing, Pro Football Focus. Once again, you know me, I'm kind of diving into these nerdy numbers and stuff like that. But this is a Dallas Cowboy-related one that I want to get into, because they just posted their top 75 free agent players around the league. And I was curious where the Cowboys fell on this free agent list.
With their own guys?
With their guys, yeah. I'm curious where they fall. Like, there's 75 guys in the NFL that Pro Football Focus is ranked. And I'm going to go through these, and you tell me, does it give you some hope where Pro Football Focus has these guys as relation to, you know, where they might, you know, where they might end up and stuff like that? Okay, here we go. Like, There's not a Dallas Cowboy free agent on this list of the 75 until you get to number 30 on the list. Number 30.
Yeah.
Number 30 is Osa Odighizuwa.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they said about him. Is another interior pass rusher, very strong underlying metrics that haven't quite translated to major sack production through nearly 4 seasons. While the Cowboys season fell off the rails as injuries piled up, Osa Odighizuwa stayed the course and played some of the best ball of his career over the second half of the campaign. The 2021 third-round pick is quietly one of the more underrated defenders across the NFL. Okay, with him being ranked 30th. Does that give you hope that maybe he might be resignable?
I guess it would depend on how many defensive tackles are ahead of him in that 30 players. If he still ends up being one of the top three defensive tackles on the market, I still think he's going to end up getting more money than what the Cowboys are probably willing to offer.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, and I do wonder what the market's going to be with, because you keep talking about how this draft is like defensive tackle.
Yeah, defensive. Yeah. Well, it's very, very one technique. Very
it is.
Okay, so then
there are some one techs that have some pass rush ability, like Ty Williams and even Mason Graham has that.
Well, then maybe as Osa being more of a, obviously a three technique, maybe that actually helps him with, hey, there's not a ton of these type of prototypes in the draft. So, and you've seen interior defensive linemen, like the numbers have gone up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The value is super high there. So my guess is another team gives him way more money than the Cowboys will be willing to.
It makes me nervous because, you know, about the 30th best free agent making significant money in an open market, that's the kind of guy that you overpay for. And the Cowboys are notorious for paying average players like they are significantly better than they are because they like to sign their own guys. Mm-hmm. And that is a big hole for their salary cap that they like to protect so much. If they could clean this up and just stop paying their own guys like their star players and look for opportunities elsewhere, I think they'd, you know, really help themselves out.
Player number 55 on this list is DeMarcus Lawrence. Of the 75, player number 55 is DeMarcus Lawrence.
That's a guy I think I'm interested in having back. Obviously, he loves the Cowboys, but he's taken team-friendly deals already, and he might shun the free agent market to stick around here for, you know, what could make sense for you.
Number 60 is Zach Martin on this list.
I think Zach's a Cowboy if he wants to keep playing. If he doesn't, then it's retirement.
And it's time to move on. You know, I think you need to draft and develop or give the young guys that you have a full season to see what they can do. But I think Zach Martin would just be a progress stopper, and he's not good enough to, like, put you back in the playoffs.
Player 65 is Chauncey Golston.
That's a guy you could probably keep. I think that might be around a contract that you could get back. And you need all the defensive linemen you can get your hands on.
Okay, now what I want to say is on this too, Jordan Lewis isn't on this list. I kind of feel like Jordan Lewis is like the best defensive player that they have.
He made some big plays. He brought added toughness. You know, you really needed corners, but I bet Pro Football Focus is looking at it more like in a huge sample size, and we're remembering like a half dozen plays where he came up big.
I kind of felt like when they were really not very good on defense, he was the one guy that was actually playing well. I think pro people are going to watch that tape, and they're going to see like, man, okay, a little bit of older nickel corner, but man,
with
like
injuries.
You mentioned, but what you talked about though with the toughness and all that, I think is something. This gave me hope that if he's not on this list,
you bring him back.
That maybe you can bring him back.
I think those kind of ranking systems do maybe overweight pass breakups and interceptions and sacks, and maybe he wasn't productive in those ways that could get him a high score. But it was clear he was one of their better defenders.
And the final thing they said is the one free agent the club can't lose, Oso Odighizuwa, was that guy. And they gave it this reason, by the way. They said Oso is by far the Cowboys' best defensive tackle. He finished second on the team behind Micah Parsons with 60 pressures and 7 sacks. While Osa Odighizuwa isn't particularly a productive run defender, I'll disagree on that. Dallas should be keeping pass rush ability in the building and addressing the other holes in free agency and the draft. They say that's the one guy you can't lose.
You don't have a replacement for him.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll chat with George Sedano, ESPN, NBA, and more. Woolchuck's Top 10 is coming up, and we're back with more sports right here. 2 hours down, 3 to go. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.